day of excessive heat. Oh, my goodness.
How long has this heat warning been in effect?
Oh, I don't know. A week now? I don't know. It's so unusual.
And you know what is really interesting to me?
What?
There is no excessive heat warning for tomorrow, yet the high is going to be 106. So I guess
it's very close.
Around 106, 108 is where that dividing line seems to be.
Yeah, the bad news is 106 again after a little brief respite of 101 or 2, which is still like 5 degrees above normal for this
time. Looks like we got a, quote, nice weekend with 101, 102, but then we're back to 106 Monday and Tuesday.
We need some rain this weekend big time. Hi, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, but I'm on this side of the glass in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, where we are bringing Southern Arizonans together on the radio on 1030 The Voice in Tucson for Trusted News Talk, the Buckmaster Show live line, presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. We're always honored to have her on our program once a month. She is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine and the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and the author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or follow her on Twitter at vmazes, or listen to her right now on The Buckmaster Show. How are you, Dr. Mazes?
I'm doing well. So glad to be able to speak with you today.
Well, there's so much negativity out there, and understandably so, a lot of sadness since all of this pandemic broke in March. But, you know, some positive things, little things can make a difference, can't they, Dr. Mazes, as far as putting us on the road to happier times?
Yes, actually, there's a growing body of research about things we can do to make ourselves feel happier. For many years, the research was very focused only on the negative. What do you do about depression? What do you do about anxiety? What do you do about some really challenging mental health problems, which do exist, and if you have something serious, please get help. But we didn't focus as much on the positive, on the flourishing side of the equation. So I'm really delighted that we now have some growing research about ways that we can feel happier.
What's at the top of the list as far as from what your research shows?
Well, I'd say at the very top of the list is practicing gratitude. And there are many, many different ways to do this. And, of course, as a society, we already do this on Thanksgiving. We have an annual holiday that focuses on giving thanks, on paying attention to the good in our lives. Many people do have some kind of way in which at the end of the day, they think about what are the good things that happened today? What are the blessings in my life? What can I be grateful for? And there actually have been research studies to show that this makes us feel happier.
I've tried to do a little bit of gratitude every day when I wake up. That seems to be a very appropriate time for me at the start of a new day. I think others would probably find that helpful as well.
Absolutely. The truth is, it doesn't matter what time of day. It matters what you will do consistently. So in the research studies, they actually asked people to do this for 3 weeks, where every single day you come up with three things that you're grateful for. And by doing it 21 days in a row, that's going to give you, if my math is correct, 63 new things. Because the idea is that you don't repeat yourself. So even if the thing you're grateful for is your brand new big screen TV, you're not going to say that every single day. You can say it one day, but but then the next day you have to come up with something different. And it could be something small. It could be, 100 degrees feels so good after 108. I'm so glad that the temperature broke to 100 degrees. That would be just fine. It could be, I'm so glad to see that my fruit tree is doing well and producing fruit, and those peaches look so wonderful and are about to be ripe. Whatever it might be that you're grateful for, 3 things each day for 21 days.
And it needs to be written down or journaled.
Ideally, it's written down. It gives you a nice list to look at the end of the 3 weeks. But one of the things you're doing in this practice is you're actually teaching your brain to operate differently in the world. You know, we evolved in a hostile world, and so we were always scanning the world for danger. We were always looking for the bad thing that could happen, a pit we could fall into, the, you know, elusive saber-toothed tiger that was going to come chase us. And we just are not as good as paying attention to the positive things. So in the field of positive psychology, they estimate that you have to have 3 positive things happen to balance out 1 negative thing. And so that's why scanning and paying attention to the things we're grateful for is a way of training your brain to be optimistic.
I think that we may be willing to accept bad news because of that kind of genetic makeup, going back to, you know, it was, times were hard, and if we lived through the day, a saber-toothed tiger didn't get us or something. We were expecting bad news, so maybe that's why so many of us are very receptive to the bad news that we hear almost 24/7.
Yeah, I mean, we you're right. Our brains just pick it up. So, you know, another thing that we could do to enhance the good is to really savor it. So, for example, if someone gives you a compliment, take it in. You know, really hear what they're saying. Pause. You know, don't just move on to the next thing. Oh, it was nothing. You know, really take it in. Take in that appreciation. Take in that good. If you can, when you have a positive experience, like say you're, wouldn't this be wonderful? Say you're enjoying the air after a really good monsoon. Take it in with all your senses. So the way that the air smells different in the desert, the sounds perhaps of a distant thunderstorm, the magic of the skies lighting up with that lightning. Use as many of your senses as you can so that you're really upping the experience of that positive thing that has occurred.
It is difficult right now to get outside. You have to go very early in the day if you want to get outside and do some walking. It's been really the hottest summer, unfortunately, and driest on record in Tucson, but there are places that you can go to walk. My wife and I did some walking this weekend at one of the malls.
Yes, so exercise is absolutely another thing that can help your overall sense of well-being. You and I have spoken about this on several occasions, but the research actually suggests that 15 minutes of cardio, so that walk that you took in the air-conditioned mall, is about as good as taking an antidepressant, but actually has a lower relapse rate. So exercise is one of the things that enhances our mood. It is actually literally an antidepressant effect, and it is long-lasting. It has so many other benefits as well. It's good for our hearts. It's good for our brains. It helps us live longer, healthier lives, helps prevent diabetes. So it's a wonderful thing to do. And yes, it is challenging in August in Arizona, but hopefully our weather will break and it will get a little easier.
How have you managed to continue with your exercise routine during these very, very difficult days of weather?
Well, I am a after sunset kind of walker in the summer because I'm not so good at getting up super early and walking. And so once the sun is below the horizon and isn't beating on me, is the time of day that I seem to be able to go out. And I definitely walk more slowly, and I don't walk as far when it's really hot. But I still do try to get out and do some of that each day. Other strategies, if there's something you can do in the house, even if it's stepping in place, if it's putting on some music and dancing to some music that you enjoy in your air-conditioned house. If you're lucky enough to have a piece of equipment, maybe you haven't used it in a while, but can you dust off that recumbent bike or that treadmill or whatever else you might have so that you are getting some physical activity without being exposed to this intense heat?
We're going to continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes talking about happiness, positive changes in your life. But first, we're going to take a break in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. And, you know, gardening is a wonderful way to bring some happiness into your life. I know it has been for me. And the place to go for all of our gardening needs is Green Things, located over at 3384 East River Road, 50 years and still growing. On their 13-acre site, they have done just such a beautiful job, and they have all the plants that you could possibly think of or want in that are heat resistant. So that's there's a plus right there for you. So it's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Zocalo Village is on the 13-acre site, and it has all that wonderful merchandise, much of it handcrafted from all over Latin America. Jan and Jack, the owners, have done just such a beautiful job in buying and bringing to this country beautiful items from overseas. So check it out, Green Things, 50 years and still growing. We'll continue with our conversation with Dr. Victoria Mazes right after this.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The Buckmaster Show Liveline is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our discussion with the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, Dr. Victoria Mazes. And we've been talking about strategies to bring some positive changes into your life. We began with talking about gratitude, something you can do, maybe writing three things down every day that you are grateful for. I think, Dr. Mays, as you said, that would be over a three-week period. Is that what you said?
That's correct, yes.
And then we talked about keeping a journal. We talked about exercise. And now it brings us to the next strategy. And this is something we've talked about on our program before, and that is meditation, something that scares away perhaps some folks because they think, I just don't know if I can initially sit for that long.
Yes, it's a really good point. A lot of people hear the word meditation and they just go, I can't do that. I can't sit still. I don't know how. I can't quiet my brain. And there's really a lot of misconceptions about meditation. A very nice place for people to begin is doing guided meditation. And in that situation, someone is actually talking you through, and they may leave some gaps of silence where you can follow your breath, or in some cases, follow your own thoughts, but mostly they're guiding you through the whole experience. And there's a number of wonderful apps, including the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine has an app called My Wellness Coach. It's on iOS and Android, and it's free. And it has many different guided meditations that people could use. There's Insight Timer, Calm, Headspace. There are some apps that are specifically for children and adolescents, like Smiling Mind, but they really get you over that hump of I just don't know how to do it and begin to teach it to you in the comfort of your own home and for free.
Can you start with a very basic plan, even for 1 or 2 minutes, Dr. Mazes?
Absolutely, you sure can. Even very short amounts of time can be very useful, and often that's how we do begin. We start with 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes, and most people who say they don't have time usually still have 2 minutes to put in somewhere. These also can be used to help quiet your mind before you go to bed, and so they can be helpful ways for people to ease themselves into sleep if they're feeling anxious or worried or having difficulty falling into a nice deep sleep. They can be very useful in that arena as well.
Many years ago, Dr. Weil taught me the breathing exercises, and when I do sit down to be quiet and hopefully get some meditation in, I begin the meditation session with those deep breathing exercises, which only take a couple of minutes, if that.
That's exactly right. So Dr. Weil often teaches a kind of breathing called 4-7-8. And it has those numbers because the practice has you inhale through your nose to the count of four, hold your breath to the count of seven, and then exhale through your mouth to the count of eight. And you do that four times. And if you want to learn how to do this, you could just Google 4-7-8 breath on YouTube and you'll be able to find Dr. Weil teaching it. But that's a really lovely way to quiet your nervous system and experience less stress. It also, when we focus on the breath in that way, we're being one-pointed. We are focusing on one thing. And so often we're multitasking. When we do focus on one thing, it turns out that we are more accurate in what we're doing. We're less stressed. And getting back to the topic of the conversation today, we become happier.
How about little random acts of kindness? Acts like that would be especially welcome during these pandemic times.
Absolutely. I've always loved that bumper sticker on people's cars, practice random acts of kindness. And we, of course, in Tucson have a wonderful project called Ben's Bells. And, you know, it has people have bumper stickers that say, be kind. And sometimes you drive through buildings, or drive by buildings, and there are mosaics on the walls that say, be kind. And it's interesting because you think that your happiness would be enhanced more by doing something for yourself. But it turns out that actually we are happier when we do something for others. The research shows that when we do an act of kindness for somebody else, that makes us happier. And it does one more thing that's especially important right now in the pandemic, and that's that it changes our immune cells in a way that makes us more resistant to disease. And that was research that was done by Dr. Lubomirsky at the University of California, Riverside. So think about that. Is there something kind that you can do for somebody else? One suggestion that another researcher, Dr. Acor from Harvard, has is that you start your morning by sending an email or a text expressing appreciation for someone else, telling them some way in which they have done something for you, they have done something that you appreciate, they have done something to make the world better. But sending those emails to people in your life can help you begin your day with those acts of kindness and then make you feel happier.
Our next guest, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, who is waiting in the green room right now, he writes poetry and does haiku poetry, and he's been posting Dr. Mays's every day on his Facebook posts, these little haikus, and it just kind of is a nice little pause when I read those, just kind of like, kind of an moment, you know what I mean?
Well, that's wonderful. You know, that's a simple thing that you have discovered that gives you, as you say, you know, that moment where you just feel better, happier. Another one that I've been following, this is on social media, on Twitter, is Yo-Yo Ma, who's the famous cellist. And he has a hashtag that is Songs of Comfort. And he has been playing brief performances on his cello and posting them on Twitter. But also lots of other people are using that hashtag, Songs of Comfort, and posting things. So I know people are sharing cartoons. A cartoon can certainly make you happy, make you laugh, make you smile. If you come across a good one, I'd say share it with your friends. So we're all finding some ways that maybe weren't part of our routine in the past, but that are now becoming part of our routine to help us feel happier.
We rented a movie called 50 First Dates, 50 First Dates, and watched that last night. And it is really a funny movie. Ben Stiller is the lead actor in it. And I laughed, and it felt very good to laugh.
Yeah, so there's another really great one, finding funny movies, funny YouTubes. I know there's a lot of cat YouTubes that are being passed around. I noticed that in my reading choices, when I read for pleasure, I'm being very particular about which books I'm picking because, you know, I would like to have some distraction as I read a novel and not necessarily have one that is very sad or depressing.
Oh, yeah. And before we leave, a listener asks that you would repeat the information about the meditation, the While Meditation app information. Where can they find that?
Yes. So if they go to our center's website, which is AZ, azcim.org, azcim.org. They will find lots of different things that might be of use, but one of them is on the very front page, My Wellness Coach, which is a free app that looks at different aspects of wellness, and as part of it, it includes meditation practices. It also looks at the food choices we make, spirituality, environmental practices, physical activity, resiliency, relationships. So it has seven different domains, and it gives the user the choice. What do you want to focus on? So if what you want to focus is on meditation, it is there for you.
All right, and that's AZ, then C like Charlie, I like India, M like Mary.org, correct?
That's it. You've got it.
All right. Dr. Victoria Mazes, stay well. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Dr. Victoria Mazes is the Executive Director at the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Albrecht Clausen will be with me, University Distinguished Professor, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Department of German Studies at the UA. He's a real Renaissance man. We've got a lot to talk about with him, and kind of a free-wielding conversation, a deep dive coming up in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, and be right back.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today And join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Joining me in studio, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor. He's the Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. He has a broad range of research interests covering the history of medieval and early modern German and European literature and culture from about 800 AD to 1800, like 1,000 years. But he's also involved in contemporary literature. He's been writing poetry for 30 years, poetry and prose. I mentioned he's been doing haiku poetry. I mentioned that during our interview with Dr. Mazes. He has published hundreds of scholarly articles and book citations, translations, and textbooks, including the Handbook of Medieval Studies. He's won many honors, including the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions. I love that title. And I also, Dr. Clausen, love to see that medal. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful medal. Mm-hmm. That was given to you in 2017, I believe, in recognition of your outstanding services to German studies. And then just yesterday, you received the good news. You were notified that you are the recipient of the German International Exchange Award. So today, our interview is somewhat of a celebration. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Bill.
That award is given very rarely, isn't it?
About two or three people per year get it.
Per year. Mm-hmm. Well, you're certainly honored to have that. I always look at you, Dr. Clausen. I've known you and I respect you. I've known you for years. I look at you as kind of a Renaissance man. You have a very positive attitude. And if ever we needed a positive attitude through these very difficult times, it's now. How do you keep that attitude?
Well, because I work very hard with literature, and literature, you know, we are in the humanities, and literature and the arts deal with human suffering, human joys, happiness, love, God, and death. So the entire spectrum of human life is expressed already, has been expressed in over 1,000 or 2,000 years of literature, and that has enormous potential for us.
In other words, we've been down this road before.
Absolutely. I'm doing a book right now on imprisonment, slavery, freedom, existential experiences, suffering. But the human spirit always comes through once again. And that's really, I would say, in essence, what we're teaching our students.
How about the challenges now that are facing the University of Arizona as they try the reentry next week? How will your teaching change this semester? I know that you had to do some, like most professors, had to do some kind of ad-libbing, for want of a better word, when all of this happened in March. Now that we've had some time to settle in, how will that teaching model look?
I have been teaching online already for a couple of years during the summer and winter semesters. And when we were mid spring vacation, I realized already things were happening. So I immediately shifted long ahead of other people, and things worked just smoothly and fine with me. I think my students were very, very happy with my engagement and with my strong efforts to be right there with them. I use the latest technology, so although I'm a medievalist, I use the latest technology in teaching, and I'm very excited about it. And actually, this excitement about the new methods of teaching carries over, and my students are very appreciative having then, as their instructor, someone who can do both, do the material, but also knows the teaching technology.
How does it work? How do you get a kind of interchange going with your students over the Zoom?
I do not like to use Zoom very much.
You don't like Zoom?
No. I have noticed already that too many people, my students included, getting tired, bored, distracted. They do then multitasking instead of really focusing. So I use a variety of different technologies where they have to write intensively, where they have to discuss through writing with me. I use also a very modern technology, teaching technology, a learning management system called Top Hat, where I can make them discuss, present their findings, and they get rewarded for their responses. So it's intensive exchange I can do all the time.
Now, what about in person? Are you going to gradually see how face-to-face goes? And has there been quite a bit of apprehension among your students?
A whole bunch of students already said they would.
They don't want anything to do with in
they
person.
They don't want to be in person. They begged and pleaded with me, can it not be done online? I think also there are a lot of students who have children, for example, or have elderly parents. They have to take care of them, and they just cannot afford to expose themselves. And so I've told them already, I will do everything in my power to be available for them and to make their learning experience as good as possible.
And there was a report just today on our CBS News that one in three, a study showing that one in three university higher education students have decided that they're going to sit out a semester or maybe even a year. Do you think this is a mistake? Do you think they should still remain and get a good experience like you're trying to offer with your virtual?
Well, first of all, I really would think that most students after graduation from high school really should take a year of absence and should do some social work, do military service, work, grow up a little bit.
So you say you advocate take a year off.
Before
the higher education.
I did it myself. I served in the military and I came out of the military as a more mature person.
Right,
strong and facing life as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that really would help tremendously. Currently, however, I think that would be very dangerous because too many people could fall into a trap of not doing anything, fall into depression, mm-hmm. not having guidance, not really knowing what to do with their lives. They cannot even travel very much.
No.
So what are they going to do? And I think the humanities would be one of the best fields possible today to keep them focused and to help them getting through this really difficult time. In a cheerful, optimistic, productive, and let me also say in a creative way.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were with us, really, as the pandemic was really getting fired up, I looked up your previous visit with us was on March 31st, and those are very dark times. And you talked about the fact that we have been down this road before. The pandemic is, in history, is nothing new. You look back 100 years, we had the most serious one. That, of course, was the Great Flu. But these things have happened. And I'm wondering, what have we learned from all of this? Are there some common themes that have emerged from this?
The first lesson we gain is that it takes sometimes forever, sometimes hundreds of years until we finally really gain a good understanding, a good handle of these pandemics. Think about the Black Death, for example. It mm-hmm. broke out primarily 1346, 1347, and the very first serious success with vaccines did not take place until 1898.
What?
1898.
And that was for smallpox.
It was for the Black Death.
Oh, the Black Death.
So that's, and then other things came about. It was primarily.
Oh, I see. You're saying for the Black Death.
That very specific.
Okay.
But at the same time, German virologists like Robert Koch only began at that time, the end of the 19th century, to understand viruses and how they work. And also keep in mind, the Black Death has broken out just recently once again. So it is always with us, whether we have vaccination or not. This is a problem that takes forever.
The bubonic plague. There are, I believe, five cases have emerged up at Lake Tahoe just this week.
Exactly.
So these things really never go away completely. And this thing will never probably go away. It'll be with us.
I think from a medical point of view, I'm not an expert, but I think we need to understand that we are surrounded by trillions and trillions of virus.
Mm-hmm.
Our entire genetic pool consists of, I think, 70% of viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire world world is virus, and so it's almost a miracle that we survive in this world. But at the same time, what we can learn from the pandemic or the history of pandemics is the human reaction. I cannot speak to the medical side, but I can speak to the consequences. How have people responded to that? And that's a very big social, also criminal, financial, political dimension.
All right, and we'll pick up on that thought with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. He will be our guest after we take the break. And it is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion is presented by our longtime friends. They've been a great supporter of our program, Silver City in New Mexico, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Their website for all of your planning is southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find information about great places to stay and so many activities. So you can start your planning now. So when New Mexico, the land of enchantment, is once again ready to welcome tourists, you will be prepared for a really easy 3-hour drive over to Silver City. Right now, they are not welcoming out-of-staters because of the pandemic, but hopefully, as things look better not only here in Arizona and New Mexico, things will be changing in the fall. We continue now with our discussion with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, University of Arizona Distinguished Professor, Director of Undergraduate Studies in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. This man has just such a broad range of research interests. He's been honored yesterday receiving the news. He's the recipient of the German International Exchange Award. And then a couple of years ago, he received the Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of Three Lions in recognition of outstanding service to German studies. This is one of those times when I wish I was back on TV because I could show a picture of this really neat medal. What is the significance of the Three Lions, Dr. Clausen?
This honor was bestowed upon me by the Duke of Duke Max of Swabia.
Of where?
Swabia, that's southwestern Germany.
Okay.
Basically, the ancient house of the Staufers, so the Hohenstaufen, and he revived that order and bestows these recognitions on people, particularly in the field of German studies.
Germany, and I'm going to get back to the pandemic in a moment, but you've just brought up another question about Germany. Germany really, it took a while for Germany to be united, didn't it? Wasn't Germany broken up into these different kind of dukedoms or with different princes? I mean, how many different areas of Germany eventually needed to be united? And when did that happen?
You had always the first German Empire from about 800 until 1806, when Napoleon defeated the German Emperor. But already by the end of the, or the middle of the 17th century, 1648, at the end of the 30 Years' War, everything splintered, and you had basically, well, normally the emperor in Vienna, but otherwise about 1,700 different dukedoms, baronesses, and bishoprics, and dukedoms, and so forth. A terrible mess.
It was a mess.
Yeah. And funnily enough, that explains why the previous border between East and West Germany looked so weird, so crooked, because they had to follow the old Prussian and Saxonian or whatever, or Bavarian borders, and that's the reason why it was such a zigzag through Germany.
Wow, I had no idea. All right, let's talk again about what have we learned about pandemics through the years. The three cornerstones of approaching this pandemic: wear a mask, wash your hands, and social distancing. Any of those familiar to pandemics over the ages?
Well, people always had a hard time understanding the cause of any of these pandemics because they did not know anything about viruses. In our discussion, we already observed that the first breakthrough in virological research against the Black Death or bubonic plague was only 1898, when the Robert Koch Institute in Germany discovered the real cause, namely the bacterium in the fleas that were on the rats. That is barely 110 years ago. So it might take really quite a long time till our researchers will come up with a very solid, good vaccine against this pandemic.
Did people social distance?
To some extent, they tried to keep out, let's say in the Middle Ages or early modern age, keep out foreigners or strangers or outsiders from cities. Some countries like Poland closed the borders. Some countries like Iceland or Norway were fortunately far away. But in essence, it was extremely difficult. And the entire epidemic at that time spread like a wildfire and decimated the entire European population by about 30 to 40%.
People love a scapegoat, Dr. Clausen. Yes. What were the scapegoats from the previous pandemics? Who did folks blame?
For centuries, actually thousands of years, it has always been Jews, particularly within the Christian context. And for whatever reason, But there are many very specific reasons, religious reasons, but then also economic jealousy and so forth. But Christians very often believe that Jews had poisoned the wells, had brought about the pandemic, the Black Death, which was all nonsense. But the Jews really suffered very, very badly, both because they were victims of the Black Death themselves and by pogroms and other horrible things which their Christian neighbors did to them.
Now, this virus emerged out of Asia, so are Asians taking the brunt of the blame?
Well, first of all, very recently, only about 10 years ago, did our researchers discover where and how the virus, actually the bacterium, came, the Black Death, namely from Mongolia, climbed over the Himalayas, went through India, leaving wide swaths of dead people, making its way through the Black Sea, from there then to the Mediterranean, and then spread all over Europe, also Africa, and so forth.
But this particular pandemic, there's blame toward China.
Well, it started, of course, in China, as far as we know, and hence the average person on the street, in a very naive and actually very dangerous way, tries to blame anyone who looks just Asian. And there has been a number of reports of attacks, physical attacks, simply against Asians. Never mind wherever they might come from, never mind whether they're Asian Americans, and there are millions of Asian Americans, and they're all citizens, like my wife, and they're suddenly accused of something. They have absolutely nothing to do with that. And it's a very racist approach anyway to accuse someone being a culprit for a pandemic.
Now, I heard you say you're thinking of a book or working on one currently that has to do with slavery. Is that correct? Slavery in the Middle Ages or what?
Yeah, so a very interesting topic. Mm-hmm. We have thought in the past that by the end of antiquity, medieval times, slavery disappeared.
Right.
The Marxists argued that because of the feudal structure. The Christians said there was an amelioration theory. Oh no, under Christians there were no slaves. We have actually discovered, and I do a lot of work about this right now, that slavery existed all over Europe, of course primarily Mediterranean, but also in Iceland, in Scandinavia, in Spain, in France, also in Germany. And we have we have really, really good reports about people who were suffering for 30 years as slaves, let's say in Turkey or in Venice or in other parts of the world.
Now, when was this? You're saying it's so widespread. When was this?
First of all, we have realized that slavery never disappeared.
Okay.
Slavery, you have to keep in mind, slaves are very valuable. That is a very, very good commodity for people to buy and sell. Slavery went down in the early Middle Ages, but picked up very quickly once again, particularly in the Mediterranean, by the 12th, 13th, and 14th centuries. By the 15th century, you have hundreds of thousands of slaves all over the Mediterranean coming from the Slavic areas. That's the reason why we call them slaves. They come from Slavic people.
Okay. All right, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for what you're doing at the University of Arizona. Good luck with this semester, and we'll have you back on hopefully very soon to get an update on how the semester is going.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the invitation.
Always a pleasure, and congratulations on being the recipient of the German International Exchange Award.
Thank you.
That will do it for the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Dr. Clausen, with me in studio, and Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass. No, we are not quarantining him. He needs to be there for particular sound purposes. So he's always on the other side of the glass, even pre-pandemic times. On behalf of all of us, we hope you have a great afternoon. And we've got Dave Ramsey with his very popular show talking about money. That's next. Have a great afternoon.